This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Noise in Brief, PR Week UK's fortnightly podcast series, where we discuss the biggest industry news stories from the past week in a bite-sized format. I'm Siobhan Holt, news editor at PR Week UK, and today I'm joined by John Harrington, editor of PR Week UK, and reporter Evie Barrett. Eliza Radio is currently enjoying the sunshine on holiday, but she'll be back with us in a few weeks' time. So to begin, let's start with the biggest story of the week, which is SEC Newgate, and the fact that they're about to receive a $100 million investment. So, John, you wrote the story on this. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Yes. So, as you say, SEC Newgate is getting a new owner, a new majority owner. Investcorp is taking a stake of about 55% in the business, as you say, for $100 million. Now, Investcorp, for those who don't know, is quite a big investment firm, actually, and it's previously funded comms businesses, including ICR, the strategic comms company, and a firm called Investis Digital, really more US-based, but ones that some of our readers may be aware of. So the £100 million is effectively a war chest for growth. They're looking at growth both via acquisitions and organic growth. And the CEO, Fiorenzo Tagliabue, told me that the group's in discussions with about 5 potential acquisitions at the moment and is also looking to increase its talent base, particularly around areas like ESG, public affairs, and employer branding. It's a really interesting case, SEC Newgate. I mean, just 16 months ago, the group delisted from the London stock market when it became private equity backed with the help of a firm called Three Hills Capital Partners. And Three Hills, incidentally, is retaining a minority stake in the business under the new plan. So what does it tell us about the market? I mean, firstly, on a simple level, I think it really shows that outside investors continue to see our sector as a good opportunity. I mean, if you look back at deals earlier this year, like private equity group KKR's investment in FGS Global and MSQ, that's the owner of consumer PR agency Smarts, among other things, getting a new investor last month, it's clear that the industry is seen by the outside world as well placed for growth. And I think it's really important to remember that when we're talking about a lot of the current challenges in the sector that we'll come on to later. InvestCorp's investment values SecNewgate at about $250 million. Now, I estimate that it's a valuation of around 10 times earnings, which is a decent amount. And I think the fact Three Hills is staying on as an investor is also a good sign.
Yeah,
you know, this isn't a case of existing investors wanting to get out by any means. And my second point I want to make, it really highlights the global opportunities for acquisitions for those groups that are well-funded. SecNewgate is looking at several areas from Eastern Southern Europe to Japan and also wants to shore up its presence in places where it already exists. Thirdly, and sort of less positively really for the UK, Tagliabue referred to what many of us here know already, unfortunately, that the UK economy is just doing less well than many other areas. You know, they pointed to a steep fall in flotations in the UK, for example. That's not to say there aren't opportunities for growth here in ESG and other areas, but clearly it's not ideal. But anyway, it's a very interesting investment and one we'll watch with interest.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, as you say about the opportunities for growth here in the UK, we've seen that in a lot of our stories over the last year. We've had like Unique Corn Strategies, which is a Philippines-based agency. They opened in the UK in March. And then I think we recently wrote about Antenna Group opening an office in London, which is a US agency, and that's their first overseas office. So I think it does show that the UK is a really potential market and that it's a launch pad to enter the rest of Europe. I think a lot of them do view it as that. And it works the other way. I think, you know, you've had a lot of UK offices also expanding internationally. So we've had like Team Spirit, which launched a satellite office in the US. And you mentioned Smarts before and Teneo, they've opened in Amsterdam. But it's not always necessarily that they're looking for, say, new customers. Sometimes they're doing it just because it allows the agency to be viewed as like borderless and they can share expertise.
I mean, I think the UK still does have that status as a launch pad, as you say, into Europe. I just think there are probably extra hurdles now due to a certain political decision taken in 2016. But I think we can exaggerate the sort of how bad the situation is, certainly for the UK PR industry. Clearly, this is still a strong industry, but there are still a lot of headwinds happening at the moment. But yeah, I still think it's not entirely negative.
No, there's positives still.
There are positives.
Yeah.
There are positives. I don't want everyone to feel really down listening
yeah,
to this.
It's not doom and gloom.
Yeah, and clearly the fact that, you know, UK agencies and agencies with a UK base, or a strong UK base, are opening elsewhere is a good thing and is positive.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's good and bad at the moment.
As you've sort of mentioned there, John, we're going to move on now because there have been redundancy in the news in the last week. Edelman announced it will lay off 4% of its global workforce. The agency described it as parting ways with approximately 240 members of staff, the majority of whom are going to be at senior levels, according to Edelman. We did ask them what the impact would be on the UK workforce, but a spokesperson declined to provide any additional comment. So what did you both make of the redundancy announcement?
I think it's really sad news, but at the same time, Edelman isn't alone in this decision. Zeno also cut some of its workforce recently, and there have been other agencies that have launched strategic reviews. Hotwire, for one, announced that in January. So I think generally it's a tough time, and agencies are sort of doing what they have to stay afloat. I mean, another big example recently that we touched upon last time, Torquay Taylor Troublemaker ceasing trading last month, which was obviously really sad as well. And I guess a bit of slightly more positive news is that some of their staff are finding jobs now, we've heard. So there is some recruitment going on, but it is a challenging time for the sector.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that Edelman said that the redundancies would be at senior levels. According to the statement of Edelman, it sort of said that they'd hired after COVID-19 and then they'd put a recruitment freeze to try and balance the numbers, and that you know, hadn't really resolved the issue. So as a result, they were going to look at a slight restructuring their staffing levels. So I did think that was an interesting take. And obviously, I wonder if that's going to be a similar issue across the sector.
I think so. It's been such a heady time for the PR industry. I mean, obviously, going back a few years, we had the decline in 2020, you know, particularly around consumer PR. Mm-hmm. And then there was growth in other areas. But generally, it goes without saying, it was an incredibly challenging time for the industry. And then after that, there's a really sharp recovery. And in that time, there was a huge amount of investment in people because the agencies wanted to tap into the growth opportunities that were there. But at the same time, there was huge wage inflation and it coincided in a lot of areas with the Great Resignation. Mm-hmm. So you've got this problem where a lot of people have been hired on inflated wages just out of necessity to take care of the business that was coming up. And that obviously means that there's a pinch on profits, on margin. And at some point, that has to come to a head, unfortunately, if conditions deteriorate, certainly in terms of profit. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously happening at the moment. You're certainly talking about the UK, but not only the UK. The cost of living crisis is really having an impact in that sense. So I certainly don't think Edelman will be alone in this sense. I really think that there is a readjustment coming on. And unfortunately, some redundancies are probably inevitable. But I'll come back to that point again, that this doesn't mean that the industry is not in high demand. It doesn't mean that investors aren't interested in the industry. And it doesn't mean that there's not a lot of business there and that clients and the C-suite aren't seeing a huge amount of benefit in everything that our industry has been doing over the last few years to really prove its worth. But the economic conditions can't be avoided. And that's why it's a difficult time. And we're seeing these redundancies and other problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And because of that factor, we've actually taken a closer look at the challenges and the opportunities in the sector, and we've created a trading tracker. John, do you want to explain a bit more detail about what that actually is and the trends you've been seeing?
Yes. So on Wednesday this week, so probably when you're listening to this, potentially, we're launching the second iteration of our Top 150 Monthly Trading Tracker, which asks UK agencies from the Top 150 database about trading in the past month. We did this in May as well, and the second time for June, or rather in relation to June. So we look at the previous month. One of the headline figures this month is that around 1 in 7 agencies have either made redundancies or plan to or expect to. Admittedly, it is a fairly small sample this time of 58 agencies, but as a snapshot, I think it's useful and highlights some of the current trends. I really advise listeners to look at the data that we're publishing this week because it looks at some other really important areas. It suggests agencies are still having problems with things like the new business process taking longer, client payment terms increasing, and inflation, unfortunately, eating into profits, among other things. So there are some concerning findings. If anything, I'd say overall, it doesn't suggest things are necessarily getting worse than they were in May, but nevertheless, it really does point to the challenging times we're in at the moment.
Yeah. And Eva, you've had a look at this and especially some of the comments that were made by people in the tracker.
Yeah, I think the written comments give some good insight. As you mentioned, John, I think clients going beyond payment terms does seem to be a real issue. That was sort of seen across quite a few comments. One person even anonymously said that they'd had to get debt collectors to chase payments from 4 of their clients, which, yeah, it's just quite extraordinary. Another person suggested that clients are perhaps slightly delusional in their PR demands and wanting to see results. He compared them to a 50-year-old divorcee who basically thinks the grass is greener on the other side. There was another comment that someone said they'd seen an increase in ghosting and tire-kicking time wasters. So I think generally searching for new business seems like it's difficult. I think the new business process is slowing down a bit. It's not that there's not opportunities out there. A lot of people say that there are plenty of pitches about, but it's just quite hard to actually follow through with that. And I think clients are just a bit nervous about spending. So it's a really mixed picture on the whole. There's not a lack of demand for PR services. And I think clients do know their worth. But yeah, when budgets are squeezed, it just makes things difficult. Even those who say that they've had a strong year so far are still largely uncertain about the second half. There were some people who only had positive things to say, but I think it's such a mixed picture at the moment. It's just hard to tell how it's going to go, really.
Yeah, and obviously these challenges then feed into recruitment issues. It all relates, doesn't it? This is the challenge.
100%. Well, one of the slightly odd things that we've seen is a lot of agencies, it comes out in our tracker research, but also talking anecdotally to agency bosses, is that people are still struggling to recruit good people at the right level. Mm-hmm. And that level is usually the sort of mid-level kind of strong account handler type roles. Mm-hmm. So it feels like a bit of a contradiction that while redundancies are potentially happening and are set to happen, there are also these positions open. But I think that's just the way the industry is. And maybe it does suggest that actually things did get a bit top heavy in the period immediately following the end of the worst part of the COVID crisis, really. And I think that realignment that's happening won't necessarily mean there isn't a huge amount of demand for really talented client handlers, but we'll see.
Mm. And do you think there could be an impact from COVID, from a lack of training during that time, that's caused some of these challenges?
Well, I think so. I mean, one of the big issues that I've spoken to agencies about in recent weeks is the fact that people who started in their roles in 2020 and parts of 2021, they sort of learnt the ropes remotely. And that's just a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
To train people in that way is less difficult. And the kind of the learning by osmosis you get from working together in the office, for a lot of people wasn't there, or it wasn't as easy to do. Mm-hmm. So the people who started then, you would think some of them are going to start to get into more senior roles now, into sort of, you know, account manager roles, maybe even some looking towards account director roles. And that could create a problem, that we've got a generation of workers who, for the best will in the world, didn't have the opportunities to learn in the same way that others did. So that could also cause some problems, and in no way blaming the people who joined the industry in that time, because there's not a lot they could do about it. But, you know, it's a challenge.
Continuing on then with the topic of recruitment, some good news. There's a new company that's set to launch on the 17th of July. Evie, you've written about this story for us. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, so this is a bit of a different one. It's a new company called PR Mums, and it's a recruitment company to help mothers back into the PR industry after maternity or parental leave. So it's been founded by comms consultant Emma Padden, and it's supported by a board of founding mothers, which contains senior women from the likes of Grayling, Freud, Manifest, and a few other good names. They've also got lots of well-known agencies on board, Frank, Four, Finn Partners, just to name a few. And it seems that there's a real appetite for what the firm is offering, which is essentially to help women re-establish their pre-pregnancy career path. And I think to help get more women into senior roles in the industry, which feels fair, seeing as it is predominantly made up of women, but there are a lot of men in senior roles. So it seems really promising. It's not just recruitment that the firm offers, but also training, networking, events, and general support. They're looking to campaign for the broader obstacles that mothers face in the industry as well, around parental leave policies, cost and availability of childcare, and flexible roles and working from home and that kind of thing. And they've also got a consultant psychologist on board too. So sounds really well thought out, and I'm really interested to see how it goes when it launches in a few weeks.
Yeah, that sounds like a really great initiative to me. And as you say, there's so many big names or big agencies that have already signed up. So it's already got the backing of the sector by the looks of things. So I think, yeah, as you say, it's one to watch.
Mm.
Probably worth a plug at this point for the mentoring scheme that PR Week does with women in PR, which is all about sort of advice for women in the industry to move to most senior roles in the sector. So yeah, have a look on PR Week's website for information about that. And anyone who wants to be a mentee should apply.
Mm. And we've expanded it this year as well, haven't we?
Yes, 30 mentors this time.
Is it to mark the 10-year anniversary, is that?
10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 10 years. So, yeah, I mean, goodness knows how many people have benefited from that over that time.
Yeah.
But it's a really good scheme, and I'd really recommend anyone who wants to get involved to check it out.
And finally, we're going to discuss the Shein controversy, which I'm sure some of you will have read in the news. For those of you that haven't, don't worry, I'm about to explain. So the online fast fashion brand Shein, which I've only discovered that's how you pronounce it, I've been pronouncing it wrong for ages. So yeah, they faced criticism this week over its poor working conditions. In recent years, they've been criticized for their factory conditions and how they're contributing to climate pollution. So in an effort to combat this criticism, they invited some influencers on a factory tour. And as you can imagine, the influencers shared their positive videos, as you might term it, from the factory in China. And it caused controversy online, with many people criticising the brand, challenging them on their controversial ethics, and as a result, criticising the influencers as well for their posts. Many defended their social media posts, but have since removed them due to the controversy, but it's caused a real storm online. And it raises questions over influencer marketing and the authenticity. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, this is hardly the first time this sort of thing has happened, but this one has really hit the headlines. I mean, it's a problem. I think that, you know, you go back to the sort of the original point of influencer marketing, the original point of influencers was that they were authentic. They were about being themselves, and people trusted them because they weren't celebrities posing with a bottle of whiskey and being paid £10 million for it. And that's the origin of why they became a marketer's dream. This kind of thing really does damage to that. I think influencer collaborations can be so beneficial, but I think it's got to be seen as authentic. Otherwise, what is it? You are back to that sort of posing with a bottle of something for a huge amount of money. And there's an obvious sort of comparison here with Bud Light's sort of infamous work they did with trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney. I mean, that was really shown to be inauthentic from Bud Light's point of view because, you know, famously, they failed to really support Dylan Mulvaney when there was a huge amount of criticism and backlash, really quite vicious backlash against that activity. So, yeah, it shows that both influencers and the brands need to sort of engage in influencer work in an authentic way. Otherwise, it really undermines the whole point of it.
It shows as well the need sort of influencers to do the research on the brand, I suppose, but also for brands and agencies to make sure that they know everything about the influencers. It sort of both need to really do the checks to make sure that they're representing them right.
In this case, I mean, I don't know the influencers that well who went on the trip, but I've heard people saying that Shein specifically chose people who they thought would kind of stand up their brand message and people who are perhaps marginalized, and they were quite strategic with who they chose, I think. So I'm not sure that it's necessarily a case of the influencers lying to their audience, but just maybe the brand being quite strategic and wanting to create this image, so choosing people who they thought would allow that.
Okay, that's it for this episode. Noise in Brief goes live every 2 weeks. In the meantime, look out for our Beyond the Noise podcast next week. Thanks to John and Evie, and thanks to you for listening. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.